The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on your health. Perhaps you've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things that, you know, you've tried to put the fire out and make things better for your life, and it hasn't worked. Well, here's an opportunity. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. The sun is out finally after a day of gloom. You know, it's always lovely to see that bright stuff in the sky. We have a very special program for you today. One that is timely. One that everybody is, you know, can apply and can worry about either in the short term, long term, or as, you know, who knows, time goes on. What am I talking about? I'm talking about brain health and function, how your noggin works, you know, your capacity to be able to, you know, respond to information, to do the things that you want to do, to comprehend, to put things in alignment that you used to be able to do very quickly, but now you can't do for whatever reason. Perhaps it's impact. You had an injury, and all of a sudden you realize that you're not thinking the way you're used to, or just getting older, and you wonder what you can do about it, and everything seems to be misfiring. So I need an expert. I need somebody to help me talk through this. And who better than the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning. Dr. Browning, welcome. Good to see you.
Good seeing you, Tom. Always fun to be in the audience and in the studio with you.
It's that time of the year. Yep. You know, I'm jealous, I have to say, because you've been out playing on ski slopes and where the rest of us had to stay here and work. Well, I mean, what's that all about? I don't understand.
Well, when the snow's flying, I'm going to find a way to get to it.
You usually do. Yes, indeed. Well, next time, take me. You know, it's, I'm the guy that, you know, wants to go and doesn't go, and I let everybody else. Never mind. We'll go in a different direction on that. Seriously, let's get to the topic. You know, the topic on brain health is one that, you know, everybody's beating the drum on, and they're talking about it, you know, on air, on television. You're reading about it in magazines and so forth. Why is this topic so important? Is it just natural way of life, or are things happening today that are increasing the perception, the degradation of brain cognitive dysfunction?
Well, I think the first thing you need to think about is the subject of brain health is basically timeless. I mean, it involves everything that happens from the time a child is born till we die. So when a lot of folks think about the health of their brain, they think of the big things, dementia, Alzheimer's. Well, you also have to add into other things like attention deficit disorder, chronic headaches, you know, all these perception problems that people will develop anytime during the course of their life. So brain health is a spectrum of disorders that takes a long time in some people to show up, but in many folks, especially young people, can start to show itself early on, and we call that attention deficit disorder.
So here's another question along with that, and I think it would be very interesting with your answer for our audience. As the brain begins to break down, as it begins to, you know, become less capable and functional, do we see that in the expression of mechanical inability as well?
Sure. Coordination can be impaired. Simple tasks can be complicated. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a memory issue. It can be a motor issue as well.
So when a patient comes in and they're complaining of, you know, whatever, I'm just, you know, something's not right. I don't have the capacity to assimilate data. Something's not right. I used to be able to do these tasks without even thinking about it very quickly. Now I have to put attention to it. How does that relate to what we're talking about? And, you know, what are the predisposing factors that you look at and say, yeah, I think I got a problem here with somebody who's not processing on all cylinders?
Well, there's really three things needed to activate a nerve. In other words, make the nerve do what it's supposed to do. You need fuel, you need oxygen, and you need some sort of activation. You need to have some sort of impulse to make the nerve fire. So if we we lack one of those or maybe two of those, then the nerve doesn't do what it needs to do. Complicating that is the things that we're exposed to over the course of our life. Maybe we have trauma. Maybe we have heavy metal exposure. Maybe there's an infection, chronic inflammation, sleep disorders. These things all amplify that process. But really the big three, the fuel, the O2, and the activation is the basic principle. And a lot of times people don't, they don't do all three of those things in proper fashion.
So when we're talking about fuel, we're talking about not only the right fuel that the body needs, and we can go on to the list, so I'm going to ask you about that as time goes on in the program today, but also putting the wrong fuel in as well, correct?
Absolutely. So the fuel we're really talking about is glucose. And glucose is the gasoline for all cells in the body, including nerves. And if we do not have a good source of glucose, or maybe it's impaired, we have diabetes, or we have too much insulin or too little insulin, then all of a sudden we start to starve those nerves of the nutrients that they need. So it'll change things dramatically.
So if somebody's diabetic and it's a result of a resistance, an insulin resistance pattern of type 2 diabetes, or it's a result of not enough insulin being produced to transport, is that the same correlative with the brain?
It can be, absolutely. So in this case, this person has literally two strikes against them. Number one, they're not getting the right amount of fuel to the brain. And the brain uses a large portion of all the glucose that we need during the course of the day. And number two, if we have elevated blood sugar, that blood sugar needs to go somewhere. So it'll start to gunk up the nerve. So now that it reduces the transmission or the impulse of that nerve, and it slows it down. So the combination of the two starts to starve the nerve. The nerve literally will start to die back. And now we start to lose cognitive function, or we're impaired in other motor tasks, things like that.
Well, a lot of our listeners right now are thinking, well, if I need, they're hearing glucose, they're thinking sugar. So they're going to go out and grab a candy bar. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the body's ability to produce glucose from carbohydrates. Now, you're right. I mean, sugar is a source of a carbohydrate, but it's not a good source, and it gets converted quickly. So we just start flooding the system with the sugar, and then the body has to figure out what to do with it, and then the insulin response takes over, and over a long period of time, that's not a good outcome.
You know, you talked about impulse and the brain's ability to transport electrical signaling from one neural synapse to another, and then subsequently, obviously, down through the body. With that type of impulse impairment, is that due to, I mean, it's obviously you're relating it to biochemistry, but can it also be related to trauma? And is it necessarily a big trauma, or can they just be small traumas accumulated over time?
Oh, absolutely, it can be trauma-induced, and that can be small traumas, multiple ones over a period of time, a concussion or a traumatic brain insult. You know, we all know about those, but now the new thing we talk about is the chronic one, the CTE, the chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That's the little hits that we take over and over again, like the football player or the soccer player that heads the ball, to where slowly they start to develop the symptoms over maybe 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You know, it could be long periods of time, and they might not ever think about the individual injuries they have, but they just notice the symptoms get progressively worse.
How about when somebody's sitting on the sofa and they're reading a book, they're watching television, they're sitting up straight, but all of a sudden they go to sleep and their head ricochets forward. Is that a trauma?
It is. I mean, it might not be a large one, but if you're having that happen over and over again, and you have maybe some of these other underlying scenarios, let's say the person also has hypertension. Now we become a little bit more ischemic. The blood vessels don't open, so we can't oxygenate. Let's say this person is chronically inflamed because their diet is just that bad. Now we're starting to see several hits that are taking place, and then they build on each other, and ultimately the brain's got to react to it, and it can shrink, and it can be less productive.
You know, we talk about the shaken baby syndrome, going back to a little kid, and we know what the ramifications are about that. But in addition to that, isn't there the same type of thing can happen to an adult? Somebody's playing hoops, they're outside, they're trying to, get a weekend exercise program going, or, they're starting and stopping playing racquetball or tennis or handball, or they're out doing things. Are those things cumulative? Can they cause problems as well?
Sure. All those things. But now you have to remember that the brain is a very amazing structure. So it can take a lot of, abuse. So the problem is these types of things aren't necessarily 100% predictable. And in many cases, it's hard to quantify. So for the people that have this encephalopathy that happens over time, the only way that you really quantify that is with an autopsy. But by that time, it's too late. So you need to start looking at some of these functional tests that we're going to get into later, and markers of inflammation.
Damage
and all this.
Already done.
Yep. So you can track it. It's almost like the check engine light goes on for the brain, and it tells you, okay, let's start looking at different systems in the body that contribute to the problem.
Well, we know that spinal fluid buffers the brain and buffers the cord, and it's there for a lot of reasons, but that's one of the major protective mechanisms of the neurological system. How about the patient who is chronically dehydrated? Is that going to affect the amount of cerebral spinal fluid and the buffering mechanism of the brain?
Absolutely. So the brain is largely composed of water, so the brain will shrink if we don't have enough water. Well, the brain needs to be held in the skull in a relatively firm fashion, so as it shrinks, it can move more in the brain. As we just, you know, turn our head, or certainly if we fall. So water becomes an extremely important component. It also allows the cerebral spinal fluid to bathe the brain at nighttime. At night, the cerebral spinal fluid basically clears out a lot of the metabolic products that happen during the course of the day. It's like taking it to the car wash at night. And if we can't do that, then these byproducts of metabolism that we don't want to be there will stay around longer and cause oxidative damage. They'll start to damage the cells.
When you have damage to the neurological network of the brain and you have things build up, tau proteins and so forth, are those a natural course of physiological metabolism and the body should be able to get rid of them? Or is it a result, once they're formed, they're stuck, they're locked in, and the body has no ability to resolve the problem?
No, I mean, they're part of the natural process. It's when they start to accumulate quicker than we can get rid of them. It's the same thing that happens with cancer cells. There's cancer cells in our body all the time. If our immune system is competent, it identifies them and eradicates them and gets rid of them, and then nothing happens. So what happens in the brain is that these tau proteins and these amyloid plaques will start to present more and more, and the body just can't keep up with it. It just can't keep the house clean, so to speak. So they start to entangle around things, and they start to slow things down.
So when that happens, when we've got cumulative trauma buildup, we have the inability of the brain to control, direct, or actually initiate impulses. The nutrient bases are off. The brain's not getting what it's supposed to. It's dehydrated. And we're talking about large numbers of people out there. People don't drink water. They don't support their diet properly. They're not getting the omega-3 fatty acids at the level. They're getting way too many omega-6s. And, you know, there's been little trauma over a period of time. Nothing's been done about it and so forth. So we've got essentially an incredible crescendo of a storm that's brewing, that it's not a matter of if it's going to happen, it's a matter of how long we can put it off. Can this stuff be reversed?
Absolutely. I mean, the body is very miraculous, and if you give it the opportunity, take the pressure off of it literally, and give it the nutrients that it needs, it can correct itself. I mean, obviously, like anything else, the longer you wait, the harder it is. So when you start to show symptoms of maybe a little bit of cognitive decline, short-term memory's not that good, or coordination becomes poor, or you seem to be getting depressed more often, then you need to look closer.
Dr. Harlan Browning is my guest in studio, your host this coming Wednesday evening, January the 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. If you're worried about that old nut that's sitting on top of your shoulders, well, this is an opportunity to find out how to fix it. If you're starting to worry about your memory, give us a call. Just go online to rosellcare.com and register for this class. We have a very special offer that we're going to give you. But don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are in studio. Number here, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. My guest in studio, Dr. Harlan Browning, your host this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing, January the 22nd at 7 p.m. You're going to learn about brain health and function. Who better than Dr. Browning? He has a specialty in neurological diagnostics, and this is right up his alley. You're going to learn a whole lot that you didn't know anything about. Be there, I promise you. You know, if you're suffering from any kind of cognitive dysfunction, or you're afraid of it, or you know that it runs in your family, or you know you've had multiple hits and traumas to your brain, this is an opportunity to find out why your body's not working the way it's supposed to, and more importantly, try to find out what you can do about it. As we go into the second half of the show, I'm going to give you some information of not only, you know, what this stuff is all about, but how you can participate. And I think you're going to find the offer, thank you, Dr. Browning, is going to be quite significant. Before we get into the program, I want to get onto the phones. Diane, how can we help you? Thank you for calling.
Yes, well, thank you, Doctor. I listen to you religiously, take notes. I have had two falls within the past 18 months causing two C2 fractures in my neck.
That's not okay.
No, it isn't okay. But I'm wondering, I have noticed clumsiness, my facility for remembering things and so forth seems to have changed. Could this be a result of those falls?
Absolutely, it could be a result of the falls. Was there something that caused you to fall? Did you trip, or did you just lose your...
Yes, I tripped. I think I have a balance issue. I've been trying to do something with that. I was doing some aqua... stuff, but that didn't seem to help. But yes, I fell and I hit a very hard ceramic tile floor in my kitchen.
Well, I would certainly continue to stay active. The brain thrives off of movement, so when we stop moving, the brain starts to shut down. The one thing that I always will stress to people too about the importance of having good balance is, you know, yes, it's we don't want to hit our head, but we don't want to break our hip.
Well, guess what? I broke my hip twice as well.
Okay, so.
Both hips.
Diane, let me ask you a quick question. Are you taking any vitamin D? Are you taking any anything to support your bone matrix, calcium citrate?
Well, yes, I am taking vitamin D, and my daughter, who is so fussy about the, has given me boron, all kinds of things she thinks I should take for my bone health. But I have to be careful with some of them because I also... had a clot, believe it or not. I've had a terrible life. And so I can't take anything with the vitamin K.
Well, just remember there's two types of vitamin K. There's K1 and K2. One will cause a problem in clotting, the other one won't.
Well, it's the K2 because I was formerly someone who had almost a vegetarian diet, and now I've backed off so much because of that problem.
Okay, so there's a lot that needs to be looked at, but it has to be done in a very objective way. There's things that you, how old are you, Diane?
I'm 78.
Yeah, so the fact that you've fallen and you have that instability that's going on, the fact that you've broken bones through falls and for other reasons, does not bode very well. You've got to find out why your body's not holding on to calcium and why things are not firing the way they're supposed to. That can be done. That's a very specific process. Just throwing things at the body doesn't work.
That's what they always do.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, if we can help you, please let us know. But you have to look at the different things. If your vitamin D level is under 50, it's insufficient. If it's 32 or less, it's highly deficient, and you've got to get it up with a natural form of vitamin D. You have to look at your calcium spillage. There's a way of doing that. It's a urinary test that will tell you if you're dumping more calcium than what you're holding on to. And it's not a matter of taking bisphosphonates, which are the medication that holds it in, because what that does, it just stops the bone from eliminating dead cells. You have to be able to reactivate and get them to do, and you can do that at any age, and you have to add some exercise to it as well. But Diane, if we can help you, please give us a call. Where you're at right now is not a good thing. 888-630-9625. Dr. Browning, you know, when what did you read in between the lines there?
You know, the pattern that I've seen with people who've had injuries, specifically breaking their hip, is if you don't get up and get moving again, then I see dramatic declines in both you know, the motor function and cognition. It's quite amazing how important it is to be able to stand and walk and move for the health of our brain. And we don't think about that. We think, well, maybe we should do puzzles and all those things. Well, you know, movement is probably one of the best therapies for the brain overall.
Well, one of the primary ways of stimulating brain function across the board, as you're talking about, is exercise, period, end of story. You don't exercise, your brain's not going to work. So you have to look at the overall scheme of things and see what's coming up. We're coming up to a break, and we have a whole bunch of information that we're going to relay, but give us a call, 888-630-9625. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio. It's a gorgeous day outside, so I'm going for a walk later. I don't know about you, but you ought to do it after you listen to the program. Anyway, Dr. Harlan Browning is my guest in studio. He will be your host this Wednesday evening, January the 22nd, 7 p.m. Brain and health function is the topic of that presentation, and we're talking about that today and why things go bad, why your computer, those, you know, that 6 inches that's between the earlobes isn't working the way it's supposed to. And Dr. Browning brought up, you know, the body's ability to, you know, work properly has a lot to do with everything around you, from injury patterns to the things that you're exposed to, the lack of an ability of your body to convert your carbohydrate into glucose and transport into the system. So all of those are tied into it. But listen, join him this Wednesday evening, and there's going to be a special offer, and I'll normally wouldn't give it to you, but I'm going to tell you right now. And for this Wednesday night, and for those of you who are going to be there present, you have to come to the program so he can, you know, talk to you and you can learn information. Our whole thing is about learning. You know, normally if you come into the office, routine examination is going to run a minimum about $225. And there's a test that we do that's called Brain Span. And it's from Brain Span Laboratories. And it's very specific test, a blood test. It's a finger prick test. And it's a cognitive test in addition to that. And it assesses your brain health, and it tells you whether you are predisposed to all kinds of things, including cognitive dysfunction and Alzheimer's and so forth. It doesn't diagnose anything, but it gives you a prognostic indicator. The combination of those two tests are close to $400, about $395 or so dollars. Dr. Browning, because this is something that is near and dear to his heart, wants everybody to be able to have that evaluation. So if you come this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax, the whole test, everything, will be $149. It's our gift to you. It's his gift to you. So this Wednesday evening, January the 22nd, 7 p.m., I normally would not tell you that, but this is something close, near, and dear to his heart. And he wants to make sure that all of you have the ability to assess what's going on with your brain, from injury patterns, from biochemical exposures, to lack of function, lack of activity. Don't miss this opportunity. Join us. All you got to do is go to rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, rozellecare.com. And scroll down. You'll see it says upcoming healthcare events. It says free health education, brain span, and it says register now. Be there. And you're going to walk away with a ton of data, brain and health function, that could literally, actually, without stretching the imagination, save your life. Dr. Browning, let's get into a little bit more of the program. We do have some calls. We will get back to them in a second. This whole area of cognitive dysfunction, you know, what is it that you can assess and point to and then ultimately begin to resolve and change, you know, from doing an evaluation of this patient and coming up with the why is that behind it?
Well, you know, certainly when you do a physical exam that includes a lot of neurological testing, you can get a lot of information as far as how the person's body is working at that time when you're in your office. Well, that doesn't really give you a lot of the information that you need as far as how is the brain processing things. So that's where the brain span test comes in. As you said, not only is there a blood portion that looks at inflammatory markers and levels of what's called omega-3 fats. These are the good fats in our diet. It also runs you through a series of tests that looks at cognitive flexibility, executive function, memory, and your focus and attention. So when you put those two together, you can more or less quantify exactly where the person is as far as brain health. And the interesting thing that I found over the years of doing this test is those folks that think that they're going to do poorly usually do much better than they think. And those people who are pretty cocky that just want to run all these tests to prove how healthy they are usually do a little worse than they think. So you don't know until you know, and this test is a good place to start.
Yeah, it's quite interesting how this thing comes about. It's an amazing test. Dr. Bob Johnson, who's a medical physician, he was a MASH doctor for the Army, and he and another doctor developed this company, and we've used it. As a matter of fact, I co-taught with him. I think it goes back a couple years ago now, and we were all there. We answered questions for the crowd. It was very well attended, and everybody that was there benefited dramatically from that. And basically, we're going to be doing the same thing this Wednesday evening. When you look at the brain and you look at its capacity to function properly, you're looking at all kinds of things from trauma and biochemistry and so forth. When you look at the body where it's highly acidic and you see omega-6 levels, which are the wrong omega fatty acids that we want to have at certain levels, how do you begin to reformat the brain? How do you begin to turn it around? Is it possible? I mean, we should start with that. Can you, in fact, actually get someone who is not functioning on all cylinders cognitively, or the brain is not telling their body how to function, what to do? What can really be expected?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, the person has to many times be willing to make changes. And what I mean by that is diet plays a huge role at how healthy our brain is. And some folks' diet is laden with refined carbohydrates and poor sources of fat. So they're chronically inflamed. So, you know, changing the diet becomes a big part of it. Quality sleep. I can't stress that enough. If a person doesn't sleep enough or the amount of time that they are actually asleep is not very high, then they're not going to regenerate. They're not going to heal. So simple things like that can make a huge difference.
You know, I just made a glitch on the doctor that we did the presentation with. His name is actually Dr. Dan Johnson. And I was thinking of another doctor that we work with, a similar name. But having corrected that, you know, when you look at patients when they're coming in and you see falls and you see instability, and they tell you that, I'm standing and I turn my head to the right or to the left, I get a little dizzy sometimes and I've got to do it gently. Is that what we're talking about, or is different systems that are involved as well?
Well, I mean, there certainly can be different systems. You know, when we move our head, then we're going to stimulate the inner ear. We're going to stimulate the what's called mechanoreceptors in our neck. So there's different components there. So we don't want to put everything in that one basket of cognitive decline. Sometimes we can have symptom patterns that are not related to it, but that mimic it. So you want to look at multiple systems in the body. So the physical side of that triangle that we talk about becomes extremely important with a lot of folks.
And that's the whole reason I brought it up. It's important to be able to uniquely distinguish what's going on and not just make assumptions about, well, it's, you know, what do I expect from my age, and it happens to everybody, and, well, it's that time of my life. That's not really okay. You really have to understand that there are multiple pieces of the puzzle. It can be the lower portion the upper portion of the neck, lower portion of the brain, the vestibular area that's for one reason either irritated. There could be muscles that are not balanced properly. There could be structural systems that are not in the right alignment or position. It can be nutrient bases. It could be exposures. It could be all of those things, old injuries that have taken place. So here's the underlying question. Here's, you know, and I can tell you that our listeners are thinking about this. So why is it that my personal doctor, my physician, the traditional allopathic community, why don't they dissect it into these boxes that we're talking about?
Well, my personal opinion, there's maybe a lack of knowledge. Maybe they don't get the education in nutrition that they should. And the other one is lack of time. So you know, I think it's becoming more common when you go to your GP, he sends you on to someone else and let quote unquote a specialist, because that's the way we're starting to trend. We're back in the day, the general practitioner, he could basically tackle anything. So I think it's a combination of not having time or not having the education, so they don't know what to do with you. And ultimately, some people get prescribed the wrong medication or certainly are given the wrong diagnosis. So time goes by and the condition gets progressively worse. So a timely diagnosis and implementation of a therapy becomes extremely important.
You know, the one buzz statement that kind of bites at me all the time is when of any physician, I don't care what their capacity is, they tell you, well, let's watch it. You know, let's see what happens. It makes me insane. You're watching what? You're watching for the progression until the point where you say, well, the patient is, you know, is going to check out, when there's something that can always be done to resolve, to turn things around, to be make better, to get. But in this particular situation, you have to make sure that the patient is on board and they become a team member.
Yeah. So, you know, a lab test is only as good as what it looks like when you repeat it. Meaning, if I do a lab test today or something simple, I check my blood pressure is high. That's a data point. That doesn't really give me a lot of information. So you're going to want to reproduce that, because if it's high again, now I can start to assume that there might be a trend. And if it's high the third or the fourth time, then we certainly have a progression. So you want to track these things, but you certainly want to think about things that you can put into place early on to address them. So, you know, you're right. You don't want to wait too long to address things. But I always tell people to pump the brakes. If the test comes back and it's abnormal, let's assume slightly abnormal, let's redo the test to make sure that your physiology just wasn't having a good day on that morning that you had your blood drawn. And that happens a lot.
You know, and what I want to tell patients also is that with a lot of the testing that's out there, the laboratory parameters that come back, and I'll use one for example, white blood cell count in many labs now go down to 3.6, 3.5 thousand, up to about 11,000, 12,000 in some laboratories. Back in the day, as my son would tell you, when the dinosaurs ruled the earth, that parameter for me was 5,000 to just under 10,000. So what's happening? Are we seeing, you know, was there an error in those days, or are there more and more people who are getting sick? So we're assuming that's normal. That's the problem. You have to read in between the lines, and you have to look at something might be normal or low on the laboratory testing, but is it normal or low as you read between the lines with other tests, other indicators that are coming back? 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning, will be your presenter this Wednesday evening, the 22nd of January at 7 p.m. Before we get back into the topic, I want to go to the phones. Kurt, how can I help you?
How you doing? You probably aren't going to be able to help me with this, but what the heck? How do you help? How do you get rid of tinnitus?
Was the tinnitus, did it start after an injury, or did it just come
on? No, it just came on. Maybe I was standing too close to a PA, an amplifier when I was younger. Who knows?
Is it
could be from stress. It could be from, who knows?
Is it a high pitched or low pitched?
Some days are really good. I don't have as bad as some people. And it's gotten, there's times when it's okay. So I'm not sure if diet or some minerals or something that, you know, they advertise those things in the internet, and they say, oh, take all these, and, you know, they never work.
So, Kurt, let me ask you a question. The tinnitus can be in a lot of different, you know, presentations, and they come from a lot of, it comes about for a lot of different reasons. Is the tinnitus, is the pitch high, a high-sounding pitch, or is it a low-sounding pitch?
It's very high.
Okay, so high-sounding pitch in traditional Chinese medicine has to do with the energy from the liver. If the liver function isn't working the way it's supposed to, often it will begin to present a high-sounding pitch that is a tinnitus type of problem. Now, you can have a low-sounding pitch, and that's kidney. You can have something that sounds like it's crackling and kind of, you know, like crickets, and that's the cochlea of the ear and so forth. So there's different things. But one of the things that can help a high-pitched sound, the things that we do is acupuncture and low energy light laser, and we check out the positioning of the skull. All of those things can be involved, because the acupuncture channels for the yang portion, or the coupled part of the liver is on the face, is the gallbladder. But here's what you can do. You can take a little bit of a low dosage time release niacin, and maybe you go to the health food store and pick up about 100 milligrams, but it has to be time release, because if you don't get a time release, you're going to flush like crazy. It's not going to hurt.
Oh, I know. I know that. Okay?
It's not going to hurt you. It just, and it lasts for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's,
yeah.
What's happening is the small capillaries.
You're getting your red rash,
yes,
all over your body.
Yes. But give it a try. And, you know, again, time release, and take it for about, you know, 30 days. And it should, if it's due to liver congestion and vascular impairment, that will help. If it helps a little bit, but it doesn't completely resolve the problem, then there's other components. If, you know, you're a drinker and so forth, I would encourage you for that period of time not to drink and take the load off the liver. If you're a coffee drinker, take it down to a cup a day in the morning only, and drink a lot of water before you have that cup of coffee. So there's a lot of different things, but give those a try first. And, you know, if we can help you, you know, let us know, because those are the kind of things that can be treated, and we treat them every day. 888-630-9625. Dr. Browning, let's get back talking a little bit about, you know, the approach of looking at the biochemical pieces of it. You know, when you have somebody that is, you know, suffering from coordination problems where they never had before, they're starting to see a little bit of an intention tremor, but you're suspicious that it may be something else. You know, the doctor says, well, let's watch it. What do you do next? What's the next step if they came to you?
You know, some testing would be a good place to start. Both the brain span test, and then I also like to do a lot of conventional blood work that looks at markers of inflammation. So something called CRP and ESR. These are markers that tell us how inflamed we are in a general sense. Look at something called homocysteine. We look at the insulin level, blood sugar level, cholesterol. All these things come into play as far as how stable our physiology is. So when we start to see trends of us moving away from normal physiology, then it lends us to understand that the body is starting to break down. On the flip side, I look at side effects of different medications. A lot of times the side effect of the medication is the complaint that sends the person into the office. I'm a little bit forgetful. My sleep pattern's off, this and that. So you don't want to forget that part too.
You know, I tell patients to go to drugs.com, and there's a spot in there. It just hit the physicians. They said, you know, the consumer physicians, hit the physician button, and then stack your medications, and they'll give you an opportunity to see what the compounded side effects of some of these things. But Dr. Browning's right on clue with this. So much of what you're suffering, and also permanent problems, can come around a result of the medications that you're taking and the damage that they do over a period of time. You really need to know, and this is an opportunity this Wednesday evening, the 22nd. You'll give us a call. Go to resultcare.com, register for the class. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live in studio. 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Sundays. But you know what? What's going to happen? February the 2nd, just in a couple weeks down the road, we're going to be switching to 11 o'clock in the morning, an hour earlier. Why, do you say? So we don't have to get disrupted again when it comes to NFL season come September. So we'll be in the same spot, same location. And by the way, I want to let you know that if you happen to miss a program, you can find them all. Just go to our website, go to rozellcare.com, and you'll find the last, usually by midweek, this one will be up. You'll find all the programs. If you go to Rozell Radio on YouTube, Rozell Radio, you'll find all of our programs. There's probably 200-300 of them that are sitting there, and they're by date and they're by topic. So let us know, you know, if you can't find something, and check it out. There's a tremendous amount of data and information on our website. You could spend a long time. We have videos on a lot of different subjects. Take advantage of them. But this Wednesday evening, January the 22nd, 7 p.m., at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax, Dr. Harlan Browning, my guest today, your host this Wednesday evening, will present brain health and function. Find out if, you know, a lot of the problems that you're beginning to notice just kind of a little bit, you know, are a result of the brain not communicating with the rest of your body. The grasping of words, the thought process that you can't seem to connect like you used to connect, the incoordination of your body physically. All of those things have to do with that central computer system. And there's reasons why they break down. He's going to cover them in detail. And as I said earlier in the program, Dr. Browning, because this is a very near and dear topic to his heart, he is making a very special offer for you because he wants everyone to be able to take advantage of it. If you come this Wednesday night and you have to be there, you have to be at the office and be with him through the lectures so he can answer your questions personally. If you choose to do a full examination and this thing that we call brain span test from Brain Span Laboratories, normally the combination of the two would be somewhere over $400, I was just informed. And he's willing to make that happen for you for $149. And it's the only time that will be available, period. So you have to be there this Wednesday evening. I normally wouldn't tell you about that, as those of you know who have been to our lectures. But this is such an important topic that I want all of you to be able to take advantage of it. Dr. Browning, let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing on Wednesday evening.
Well, we're going to be going through all of these components of the brain span test. We're going to certainly look at some other testing that I think is extremely valuable, and we're going to talk about some common sense applications to help correct it. And the one thing I just want to stress before we're out of here is this testing is not just for the person who's 75 years old and thinks they're getting Alzheimer's. This test is just as important for the 13-year-old kid who's not doing well in school, the 35-year-old person who just doesn't concentrate or maybe has some symptoms of cognitive decline. So it transverses a large amount of times as far as, you know, kids to adults.
It's an important presentation. You know, have you ever wondered why you might have, you know, a pain pattern that doesn't go away? See, here's a different piece that, you know, we could spend a whole hour, 2 hours, 3 hours on. The body remembers injury. The brain has a memory, a recidivistic pattern. So when similar things show up, it acts the same way. The brain holds the control of that. And often when you're hurting all over, call it fibromyalgia, myofascial pain syndromes, neurological recidivistic pains, there's a reason that often goes directly to the brain. And you can diagnose that. You can eliminate that. Is that true?
Absolutely. And we'll touch on what you're alluding to here as far as how the hormones, cortisol, that's an adrenal-related stress hormone, how it affects the brain, thyroid function. So, you know, all of these things go hand in hand. There's a lot of people who get progressively worse, and their issue isn't per se their brain. It might be their thyroid or their adrenal gland that's not helping them.
It's important to understand the mechanisms, and this is an opportunity to do that. And trust me, I'm going to be sitting there listening to it because I always learn from the professor. He's amazing. He has a breadth of knowledge and understanding when it comes to neurocognitive dysfunction that most people will never have, no matter how long they practice. Join us this Wednesday evening. We're coming up to the end of the program, and we'll definitely be here and see you next week. Don't forget, we love you all. Bye.